Welcome to the OCR GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm your guide for today. And in this episode, we're diving deep into photography. That's topic 1.6 on the OCR specification. Whether you're building your portfolio right now, preparing for your externally set task, or just trying to get your head around the assessment objectives, you're in exactly the right place. Grab a notebook because we're going to cover everything you need to know to earn top marks. Let's go. Section 1, Core Concepts. Photography at GCSE is not just about taking nice pictures. OCR wants to see you working as a thinking, creative photographer, someone who makes intentional decisions at every stage, from the initial research right through to the final print or digital presentation. Everything connects back to the four assessment objectives, and we'll come back to those throughout this episode. Let's start with the technical foundation, the exposure triangle. This is absolutely essential knowledge, and examiners love to see it referenced in your annotations. The exposure triangle has three points: aperture, shutter speed, and ISO. Together, these three settings control how much light hits your camera sensor and how your image looks. Change one, and you affect the others. Let me break each one down. Aperture is the opening inside your lens. It's measured in f-stops, so you'll see values like f/1.8, f/5.6, or f/16. Here's the bit that trips everyone up. A small F number means a large opening, and a large F number means a small opening. It's counterintuitive, but stick with it. A wide aperture like f/1.8 lets in lots of light and creates a shallow depth of field. That's where your subject is sharp, but the background is beautifully blurred. Photographers call that background blur bokeh. A narrow aperture like f/16 keeps everything in focus from front to back, great for landscapes. In your annotations, always link your aperture choice to your intended effect. Don't just write, "I used f/1.8. Write, "I selected f/0.8 to create a shallow depth of field, isolating my subject from the background and drawing the viewer's eye directly to their expression, an approach influenced by the intimate portraiture of Reinicke Dijkstra." Shutter speed is how long the camera's shutter stays open. It's measured in fractions of a second, or whole seconds for long exposures. A fast shutter speed like 1/1000th of a second freezes motion, perfect for sports or wildlife. A slow shutter speed like 1 full second blurs motion. Think of those silky waterfall shots or light trails from cars at night. Again, always justify your choice. I used a shutter speed of 1 full second blurs mate to freeze the movement of the dancer mid-leap, creating a sense of dynamic energy that references the work of Henri Cartier-Bresson. ISO is your camera's sensitivity to light. Low ISO, like 100, gives you a clean, sharp image with no grain. High ISO, like 3200 or 6400, makes the sensor more sensitive, which is useful in low light, but it introduces digital noise, which looks like grain or speckle. Some photographers, like Saul Leiter, actually embraced grain as an aesthetic choice. But for most situations, keep your ISO as low as possible and control your exposure through aperture and shutter speed first. Now let's talk about composition. This is where your artistic eye comes in. OCR examiners credit candidates who demonstrate a considered approach to framing and viewpoint. Key compositional techniques include the rule of thirds. Imagine your frame divided into a 3x3 grid. Place your subject at one of the four intersection points rather than dead center. This creates visual tension and interest. Leading lines. Use natural lines in your scene, roads, fences, shadows, to draw the viewer's eye toward your subject. Framing. Use elements within the scene like a doorway or tree branches to frame your subject. Viewpoint. Shooting from a low angle makes your subject appear powerful and imposing. A high angle can make a subject seem vulnerable or small. Always justify your viewpoint choice in your annotations. Negative space. The empty space around your subject can be just as powerful as the subject itself. Hiroshi Sugimoto's seascape photographs are a masterclass in using negative space to create a meditative, contemplative mood. Let's move on to photographers you should know. OCR rewards candidates who demonstrate genuine engagement with practitioners, not just biographical facts, but analysis of how their work has influenced your own practice. Cindy Sherman is essential for anyone exploring portraiture or identity. Her untitled film still series from the late 1970s sees her adopting different female personas, challenging how women are represented in media. If your project explores identity, self-representation, or constructed reality, Sherman is your go-to reference. Henri Cartier-Bresson coined the concept of the decisive moment, the idea that there is one perfect instant to capture an image where composition, light, and action align perfectly. His street photography is technically brilliant and compositionally masterful. reference him for documentary, street, or reportage projects. Renike Dijkstra is known for her large format portrait photography. Her subjects, often adolescents or people in transitional life moments, are photographed against plain backgrounds with direct, unflinching gazes. She's brilliant for exploring vulnerability, identity, and the relationship between photographer and subject. Don McCullen is one of Britain's greatest documentary photographers, known for his war photography and images of social deprivation. His work raises important ethical questions about photography's power to bear witness. Reference him for documentary or socially engaged projects. Wolfgang Tillmans works across portraiture, still life, and abstract photography. His approach challenges the hierarchy between important and everyday subjects. He's particularly relevant for candidates exploring contemporary photography and the boundaries of the medium. Now, a word on darkroom processes and digital editing. OCR specification covers both chemical and digital processing, and examiners want to see evidence of purposeful experimentation in both areas. In the darkroom, key techniques include dodging and burning, selectively lightening or darkening areas of a print during exposure, photograms, placing objects directly on photosensitive paper to create silhouette images without a camera, a technique associated with Man Ray and Laszlo Moholy-Nagy, and lith printing, which produces warm, split-tone effects with beautiful grain. Digitally, you should be confident with Adobe Photoshop. Key skills include levels and curves adjustments for exposure control, selective masking to apply adjustments to specific areas, layer blending modes for composite images, and converting to black and white using the black and white adjustment layer, which gives you far more control than simply desaturating. Section 2, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get into the stuff that directly affects your marks. I'm going to be very direct here because these are the mistakes I see candidates make time and time again. Mistake number one, biographical research without critical analysis. I cannot stress this enough. OCR does not want a Wikipedia entry about your chosen photographer. They want you to analyze specific images, discuss the technical choices, the compositional decisions, the conceptual intent, and then explicitly connect this to your own developing practice. Use phrases like, inspired by Dijkstra's use of a plain background to eliminate distraction, I experimented with shooting my subjects against a white wall, finding that that's what earns AO1 marks. Mistake number two, poor technical quality in final outcomes. Your final image must demonstrate technical competence. Unintentional blur, incorrect exposure, or poor focus will cost you AO4 marks. Post-production cannot rescue a badly exposed original. Get the capture right first, shoot in RAW format if your camera allows it. This gives you far more flexibility in editing. Mistake number three, no editing documentation. Examiners need to see your editing process. Screenshot your Photoshop layers panel, annotate before and after comparisons, explain why you made each adjustment. I increased the contrast using a curves adjustment layer to create a more dramatic, high contrast aesthetic reminiscent of the gritty documentary style of Don McCullen. Mistake number four, unannotated contact sheets. Your contact sheet is a goldmine of AO3 marks, but only if it's annotated. Mark your selects and rejects. Explain your selection criteria. Rejected, subject's eyes are closed. Selected, the shadow falls at exactly the angle I intended, reinforcing the sense of isolation. This demonstrates critical thinking and visual literacy. Now, command words. In any written components or annotation tasks, pay close attention to the command word. Identify just needs a factual answer. Name the technique, the photographer, the process. Describe requires you to say what you can see or what happens. Use subject-specific vocabulary like shallow depth of field, chiaroscuro lighting, rule of thirds. Explain requires you to say how or why. Link the technical choice to the intended effect or conceptual meaning. Analyze means breaking down the image or process into its components. Discuss individual elements and their specific effects on the viewer. Evaluate requires judgment. What works well, what could be improved, and why. Section 3, quickfire recall quiz. Okay, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1, what does a wide aperture like f/0.8 do to depth of field? Think about it. The answer is, it creates a shallow depth of field, blurring the background. Question 2, which photographer is associated with the decisive moment? Think. That's Henri Cartier-Bresson. Question 3. What does a high ISO setting do to image quality? Think. It increases sensitivity to light, but introduces digital noise or grain. Question 4. Name the 4 OCR assessment objectives. Think, AO1, develop ideas through research. AO2, explore and experiment with techniques. AO3, record observations and ideas. AO4, present a personal and meaningful response. Question 5. What is a photogram? Think, a cameraless photograph made by placing objects directly on light-sensitive paper and exposing it to light. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review those sections. Section 4, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Photography at GCSE is assessed equally across all 4 objectives, 25% each. That means your research and contextual understanding matters just as much as your final image. Document everything, annotate everything, make every decision intentional, and explain it clearly. The exposure triangle, aperture, shutter speed, and ISO is your technical foundation. Know it inside out. Know how each setting affects your image, and always link your technical choices to your creative intent. Engage deeply with photographers. Don't just describe their work. Analyze it, question it, and use it to inform your own practice. Cindy Sherman, Henri Cartier-Bresson, Renike Dijkstra, Don McCullen, and Wolfgang Tillmans are all excellent starting points. For your portfolio, think of it as a visual diary of your creative journey. Examiners want to see development, from initial research and experimentation through to a refined, technically accomplished final outcome. And remember, post-production is a tool, not a rescue mission. Get your capture right, then use editing to enhance and realize your creative vision. You've got this. Keep shooting, keep annotating, and keep asking yourself, why did I make this choice and what effect does it have? That's the mindset of a top-grade photography student. Good luck with your coursework and your externally set task. This has been your OCR GCSE Photography Study Podcast. See you in the next episode.